Good morning, my friends. This is Missionary James Robinette, and by the Lord's will, I'm with you once again this Lord's Day morning. We thank the Lord for His grace. We thank Him for His gracious word, and we thank Him that once again we can meet in holy worship in the Word of God together. My friends, this Lord's Day, we are continuing in the book of Ephesians in chapter 1. And so if you have your Bible available, please turn to Ephesians chapter 1, and we will soon look to the living Word of God there together. I'm a missionary with Action International Ministries Uganda. You can learn more about our work by going to the World Wide Web. You'll locate us at www.actionuganda.net. That's www.actionuganda.net. Our contact number is 0782-652-143. That's 0782-652-143. Please feel free to contact us as the Spirit of the Lord would move you to do that. We would be glad to offer a word of counsel. We would be glad to pray for you, to share more about today's sermon, Bible teaching. If you have questions about the text, about the Bible in general, we would be glad to help you as we are able to. And so, my friends, we thank the Lord that today we're going to be finishing the very last question in the Westminster Shorter Catechism. For some months now, we have been looking at the Westminster Shorter Catechism together. I've been sharing with you question by question and answer by answer through this teaching that the Church has been blessed with through the centuries. Today we are in question 107, and let us now pray to our Heavenly Father. Father, we thank You for Your grace that once again we are able to meet with You in the Bible. And so pour out Your gracious Spirit upon us, O God. We pray that He would bring the Word of God to us in such a way that we are illuminated by it. Fill us with light as Your words enter our hearts, and fill us with the light of God. We thank You for the precious truth. We thank You for the ministry of the Holy Ghost, that He comforts us, that He strengthens us, that He builds us up in the truth, and that He sanctifies us by the Word of God, which is truth. Lord, we thank You for the ministry of the Holy Ghost, in that He leads us to see Christ crucified and risen, and that He leads us as we lift up His name. We do that now, Lord, our Father. We praise You and we thank You for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our God and Savior, who died to take our sin away and who is risen to save us from our sins and to give us the precious gift of eternal life and forgiveness of sins. We love You, Lord Jesus Christ, our God, and we love You, Father, God over all, and we love You, Holy Spirit. And so be with us now, we pray, O God. And bless us and bring precious truth into our minds and hearts and change us, transform us by it. Father, we thank You for the ongoing ministry of ABC Radio, and we pray for grace for Eddie and for Priscilla and for Collins and Maggie and many others who serve You in this wonderful ministry. Bring Your grace and mercy, blessing and peace. Bring the joy of Jesus into the hearts of Your servants, Lord, and then truly their ministries will honor You and will bless the people. We pray that for ourselves today, that the result of our time in Your Word would be that we would give You glory and worship You and be filled with joy in Your presence. And we thank You for Your wonderful work in the church, that You are working to achieve Your glorious and eternal purposes in the body of Christ. Father, finish the good work in us that Jesus began, and we give you the glory, we give you thanks, and we praise you for these wonderful things. In Jesus' name, amen. And so, my friends, let's now hear question 107 in the Westminster Shorter Catechism. The question is, what doth the conclusion of the Lord's Prayer teach us? The conclusion of the Lord's Prayer is found in Matthew 6:13. And it says there, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." The answer is that the conclusion of the Lord's Prayer teaches us to take our encouragement in prayer from God only, and in our prayers to praise Him, ascribing kingdom, power, and glory to Him, and in testimony of our desire and assurance to be heard, we say, Amen. And so, the conclusion of the Lord's Prayer, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever," my friends, teaches us that we are to seek God in prayer and God alone in prayer. We find in Daniel 9, in verses 4 and in verses 7 through 9 and in verses 16 through 19, the Word of God, I'll read it to you now. "And I prayed unto the Lord my God, and made my confession, and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love Him, and to them that keep His commandments. O Lord, righteousness belongs to You, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day, to the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off through all the countries whither Thou hast driven them, because of their trespasses that they have trespassed against Thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against Thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against Him. O Lord, according to all Thy righteousness, I beseech Thee, let Thine anger and Thy fury be turned away from the city Jerusalem, Thy city, Thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and Thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of Thy servant and his supplications, and cause Thy face to shine upon the sanctuary that is desolate, for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline Thine ear and hear, open Thine eyes and behold our desolations, and the city which is called by Thy name. For we do not present our supplications before Thee for our righteousness, but for Thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for Thine own sake, O my God, for Thy city and Thy people are called by Thy name." And so, my friends, we see here in the conclusion of the Lord's Prayer that we are to pray to God alone, and we are to be encouraged that our prayers in faith in Christ are heard by God and by God alone, and that God, for His own glory and for the namesake of His Son, that is, for His Son's glory, and because of the authority and sinless perfection of the God-man, Jesus Christ, will surely hear our prayers and answer them for His own great glory. And so we see there in Daniel clearly that prayer is made to God alone for God's glory and for the blessing of forgiveness for the people of God. This is prayed, supplication is made because the people are called by the name of God. And so we see clearly in Daniel's supplications that he desires forgiveness, that God Most High, who alone hears prayer, will be glorified in the people of God, and that the prayer will be answered. And we also see, my friends, in 1 Chronicles 29:10 through 13, there we read the word of God. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, "Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great, and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name." And so we see also in 1 Chronicles, in David's blessing of God, that is, that he ascribes blessing to God, he gives God blessing, he declares the worth of God and his greatness, and the greatness of God's acts. We see here a prayer that is quite similar to the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Lord's Prayer. We see that in our prayers we are to praise God, and that we are to ascribe kingdom, power, and glory to him. This means that we are to declare, as we understand, that God is the sovereign of all, that he is the king of all creation, and that he is the king particularly of his church, of his spiritual kingdom. We are to declare and understand that God alone is all-powerful. All power is his. And we are to ascribe, declare, and understand that glory belongs to this great and awesome God and to him alone. His name, that is his character, is glorious. Amen. And my friends, we are also to see that in the testimony of our desires and in our assurance to be heard, we are to say, Amen. The idea here is that as the Lord teaches us to pray in the Lord's Prayer, that we end our prayer, we declare our prayer in this way. We say amen to the things that we have brought to God in prayer. That word amen simply means let it be so. We find in 1 Corinthians 14:16, "Else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest?" Revelation 22 in verses 20 through 21 says, "He which testifies these things says, Surely I come quickly, amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." And so, in assurance and as a testimony of our true heartfelt desire that our prayer in Jesus Christ be heard, we end our prayer with this solemn declaration, Amen. That is, we are declaring that these things are so. Amen. And so, my friends, we thank the Lord that he teaches us how to pray in the Lord's Prayer. Let us share together the Lord's Prayer. You recite the Lord's Prayer with me as you are able to. I'm reading from Matthew chapter 6, the Lord's Prayer as Jesus gives it to us there. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let it be so. It is so. By the name of the Lord. Amen. And so, my friends, we thank the Lord for his grace, and we thank him for the word of God, which we will receive now. It's found in Ephesians chapter 1. Let's begin this morning in verse 10, and let's read through verse 12. This is the New King James Version, the Holy Bible. That in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. Amen. Father, we do thank you for your precious word. Thank you that you hear our prayer through the Lord Jesus Christ, that we cry out to you because he has authority, because he is authorized as our head and mediator to save us. And Lord, you have empowered him to receive us. And so we have come to be united to our glorious head who has all authority. And so we cry out in his name, the name above every name, for more blessing, grace. And we cry out in his name, declaring that you are faithful and true, righteous, good, and just. And we thank you for the good word that we shall receive now. In Jesus' name, amen. And so, my friends, last Lord's Day morning, I shared with you thoughts about the wonderful truth that we find in verse 10, that God is gathering together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. This is God's great and eternal work, if you will. He has always, in a sense, been at work to save the people of God. Surely we were on his heart. He was mindful of us before we were ever created. And the eternal God, who has no beginning and no end, who does not change, has forever thought upon us. And in his glorious plan, at the appointed time, if you will, created the world so that we, his children, who are born into this world, would be saved in the full course of the times, at the right time. And God Almighty, the great Father, who has always loved us before we were ever created, imagine for a moment, think with me about this glorious reality, my friends. Before we were created, in eternity past, God knew us and loved us. Before anything was, we were, in a sense, alive and well in the mind and heart of God. And this wonderful and great God, who has loved his people with an eternal love, purposed for his own greater glory and for our eternal blessedness, to create us and then to recreate us in Christ Jesus. And this great work of creating us and recreating us in Christ Jesus required the creation of the cosmos in which we dwell. And so our great and wise, loving Father, God, who knew us forever and who loved us in eternity past, who loves us now and will love us forever, then created. And he created so that we would come to be in time, and that we would come to be born again in time, and so live our lives in this world in faith from the moment we are born again until we are glorified. And this is all happening. The universe exists. The earth was created. Man was created, Adam, the first man, so that the sons of God, those who would come from Adam, who are destined to become the adopted sons of God, the elect of God, that we should be saved in Christ and brought to the Father. This is God's great and glorious purpose. He is gathering the people of God to himself. And again, reflect with me about the greatness of this work for the greater glory of our Father. How awesome this work is. How wise God is to have conceived of such a great and glorious plan, that he would create this vast, to us limitless creation, so that we could live. And he created us, he gave us life. And again, in this great plan of God, in his workmanship, if you will, he sent his Son to die on the cross so that we sinners, who he always loved, who he always knew, would be brought to Christ Jesus through the work of Christ Jesus and God's irresistible grace, and so that we would be gathered by the Spirit and brought to Christ, and through Christ brought to the Father to be forever with him. God is glorified in the creation, but God is highly glorified in the recreation, my friends. And this is a glorious truth for us to meditate for a moment upon, and that is that God is glorified in all that he does, and in his essential glory, that is his glory that is his personally, he never suffers a diminishment of glory. He is always glorious. He is unchanging. His essential glory cannot be affected by the creation, but God, who is absolutely glorious in himself and sufficient and happy in himself, has willed to receive glory from his adopted sons. And so the creation exists for this great and high purpose of God, that he is glorified in the church composed of these adopted sons, the elect of God. He has created us and saved us in Christ Jesus, that we are his children, the vessels of mercy, who have come to know him and love him. And because he first loved us, he is gathering us to himself, because he is our Father, and because he loves us, and he desires for his greater glory and for our blessing that we are with him, and that forever. Praise God. This is, simply put, an awesome, awesome work of God. And we understand, my friends, that Christ has redeemed the creation. When Jesus Christ died on Calvary's bloody cross, when he lived a sinless life and died the sinner's death for us, he shed his blood to save the people of God. He has redeemed us, and he has also redeemed the creation of God. This means that Jesus Christ, our Savior, has brought harmony back into the creation of God. He has regenerated the creation. That work has begun. Jesus is resurrected, and because he died and he is lifted up from death, he is resurrected, the regeneration of God has begun in the creation. And so, my friends, his Spirit is at work in this world, saving human beings, that is, regenerating these individual sons of God. And God is also at work to regenerate the cosmos, to bring harmony, order, purpose, and blessing back into the cosmos. And I want to share with you, my friends, the thoughts of Martin Lloyd-Jones, a great preacher, because they're so helpful to us to understand this work in redemption through the bloody cross of Jesus Christ, that God is perfecting the creation. He is bringing harmony back to the creation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me begin, and I'm quoting from his commentary, God's Ultimate Purpose, about Ephesians 1. We read, "Originally all things were in a perfect state of harmony under our Lord Jesus Christ. As we are told in the first chapter of the Epistle to the Colossians, verses 15 through 19, who, referring to the Lord, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell." There we have an account of creation's original condition. And in the 10th verse of the second chapter of Colossians, we read, "And you are complete in him," in Christ, "which is the head of all principality and power." Such terms as principality and power and dominions and thrones always refer to the angelic beings, the angelic powers, the great powers in the heavens. So what we are told is that the Lord Jesus Christ was the head of all these powers, as he was also the head of the universe. Everything was made and created, and this was made and created in Christ and by him and through and for him. Not only the world of animals and plants, but angels and thrones and principalities and powers. Furthermore, there was perfect harmony in all these realms. The Lord Jesus Christ was over all, over the angels and all powers and authorities and dominions, then over the world, the animals and the fruit of the earth. Man was made the Lord of creation over all animals and inanimate nature. All was absolutely perfect and in a state of entire harmony and unity. Everything worked harmoniously downwards from the great head, and everything worked upwards, back again towards the supreme head, the Lord Jesus Christ. But alas, the unity and harmony did not continue, and the present situation of the world is due to that fact. The harmony has been destroyed. First of all, there was a revolt, a rebellion in heaven itself. Discord in heaven, war in heaven. But the discord was not confined to heaven. The fallen angel, namely the devil, Satan, came and tempted man, and man fell. The result was discord amongst men, dispute, quarreling, misunderstanding, warfare, bloodshed, murder, jealousy, envy, and all that follow in their train. Unquote. And so I've shared this rather long quote with you because I believe it really crystallizes, in a sense, what the text is communicating. I believe this is a good comment upon our text. Lloyd-Jones is, in fact, saying that Christ Jesus was the head of the creation before sin, which he describes here as a revolt or war in heaven, occurred. Jesus was the head of this harmonious, united, glorious, and blessed creation. God created through Jesus and for Jesus. The creation existed for the glory of the head, the eternal Son of God. So it is that God's appointment was that sin occur. And when sin occurred in the creation, troubles also occurred. Sin always brings suffering, a measure of misery, and death and destruction. Ultimately, sin brings condemnation or spiritual death. The Bible refers to this as the second death for those who are not redeemed from their sins. But praise God, Jesus Christ, in the fullness of the times, came to restore harmony, order, justice, and blessing and unity to his creation. He was head, and he is head of the creation. He was head of the creation because he is the eternal Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. He was incarnated, that is, the eternal Son became the man, Jesus Christ, to destroy the devil and to end his power and revolt. Jesus Christ became the man who lived a sinless life and therefore conquered Satan and brought Satan under the control of the man, Jesus Christ. And in doing so, Jesus Christ, the man, takes control of Satan and exerts his headship over Satan, all evil, and the creation now as the glorified man, Jesus Christ, that he is and forever will be. Awesome. Praise God. This is God's awesome and great work. So it is that now the man, Jesus Christ, is the head of the creation. The man, Jesus Christ, is the eternal Son of God, and he is the sinless and perfect man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And by virtue of his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ has brought into this creation, which has been so broken by sin, the regenerating power of God. He raised himself up from the dead. That very power in him is at work now through him in the creation to regenerate the creation, to make all things new. And my friends, be encouraged. That glorious process has begun. When we look about us and we see the fighting and murder and bloodshed and evil that's in the world, when we see how it is that men hate and mistreat one another, how it is that, first of all, the greatest sin is that they deny God in their sinfulness and they don't declare His blessedness. You see how twisted, how wicked man has become, fallen man. That he would fail to understand the glory and goodness of the ever-blessed God. That he would not worship Him. He would not trust Him. He would not love Him. But he would serve his own wicked idols. This is man's perversity. But so it is that Jesus came into a world like this to save the world and to save His people out of this terrible state of death and condemnation and hatefulness. And Jesus Christ, my friends, does not fail in the great work which God gave Him to do. In fact, you remember that the Bible tells us that when He gave up the ghost, He said, "It is finished." Meaning that He finished the redemption of God's people, and He completed this work of redeeming the creation, of bringing peace and order, glory and blessing, harmony and unity back into the creation. Amen. Praise God. And so, my friends, we are encouraged to know that Jesus Christ, the head of the creation, is working at this very moment, and He will be until the creation is glorified to regenerate the creation. He is working to save sinners. Praise God, that's our hope, by the way, that Jesus will come to us and save us, that He will come and save our families, our friends, that He will come and save tribes and peoples, that He will come and save nations, that He will come and save humanity in this sense. My friends, He is surely able to save, and be encouraged, He is at work saving in His perfect plan and timetable His people. Jesus never fails. This awesome work of saving individuals and of recreating, renewing, regenerating the creation is perfectly on time. Amen. God's Son is going to complete this work. It was given to Him by the Father too, of glorifying the creation. And that is happening, and it will happen. Think with me for just a moment about the power of God's grace and mercy. When we understand how sinful humanity is, and we can understand that carefully and easily, I think as believers, we look at what happens in this world and we see man's evil and his wickedness, his perversity. He chooses to do that which is evil and destructive. He brings upon himself these evil consequences. When we see wars and fightings and quarreling, and we see the lack of harmony, when we see broken marriages, and we see children killed and mistreated, when we see oppression, and we see corruption, and we see the violence that is in the world, when we see the confusion that exists in people, how it is in darkened minds that people serve idols and false gods who lead them in violence and destruction. We see the depth of our wickedness, that is our depravity. But even so, we must look beyond this scene of ruin beyond our own sinfulness to the glory and blessing and great and wonderful majesty of the Lord Jesus Christ. Out of this ruined world, there is raised up from death a perfect human being, the glorious man, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the head of the new creation. He is the second Adam. And he gives life to all of those who believe in him and repent of their sins. And he is constantly calling out in his gospel to humanity, to the nations, to all peoples, to come unto him, because he gives eternal life through the remission of sins. This great and glorious God is working in the midst of this fallen world in a powerful way. His power, his glory, his purpose is exceedingly greater than the power of the enemy, which has brought destruction into the world. Jesus Christ, the man God, has all power, and he is powerfully working to change individuals and to change the creation. That is happening in the present, my friend. And so, as you look about this world and you see many times a scene of ruin, remember and look carefully and see the glorious work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is saving sinners out of the ruin. And ultimately, the very creation itself will be fully renewed, fully recreated, regenerated. Praise the Lord. Jesus Christ will have his glory. The creation will not fall into the hands of the evil one. Ultimately, in fact, the evil one has been destroyed by the powerful man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus has assumed the throne of God, and Jesus is ruling over Satan and all evil and destruction, and he will forever. I love the glorious accounts in the Gospels about the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and the power he exercised over the evil one and sinners who served the evil one. My friends, these stories are splendid. They give God high glory. This is the truth about how it is that the man Jesus Christ always conquered Satan. He was never defeated by Satan. And he cannot be defeated by Satan, because Jesus Christ is none the less than God himself in human flesh. God assumes human nature and comes and destroys the enemy of humanity, Satan. And think about the glorious stories about how it is that the blind came to see, because sin, which brought this blindness, this affliction upon them, was dealt with through the Lord Jesus Christ. He had power to forgive sin, and he had power to restore vision to the blind. Jesus Christ had power to raise the dead who died as a consequence of sin. He broke the devil's power, and so brought the dead to life again. Jesus Christ, my friends, had power to feed and bring drink to the thirsty and to the hungry. He had power to do these great and awesome things. He had power to raise himself up from death, and the power that is in Jesus Christ is the awesome power of God himself. Amen. And so, God is working. God prevails. God is ruling all over all evil. God is accomplishing his purpose that no creature can frustrate. And the glorious purpose of God that we see here is that God is gathering the people of God to himself by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, we read some verses there that Martin Lloyd-Jones gives comment about very briefly in the book of Ephesians, and he mentions verses 15 through 19. The book of Colossians. The book of Colossians is also a glorious and heavenly book. It reveals more about the great plan of God for the church, and it reveals much about the glory of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, about his glorious identity. But we find here a simply wonderful truth, and that is that Jesus, as the head of the new creation, receives glory because the new creation exists for him as the old creation existed for him. In other words, we exist, and we who are Christians are blessed to exist for the glory of our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. The creation is for the Son. Praise God. And the Son constrains in the creation, meaning that the Son holds the creation together. Praise the Lord. The power that holds the very creation together, though there is revolt, though there is sin, again, notice the amazing power of the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil is a rebel, but the devil cannot break the powerful constraint of the Lord Jesus Christ. He merely exists to fulfill the plan of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it is Jesus Christ whose power constrains or holds together the very creation of God. In him is all fullness of the Godhead bodily. He is the head of all principality and power, meaning that he is in control, authorized to rule over all levels of authority and rule. And blessedly, a Christian is made complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. The idea there is that there is nothing lacking for us in Jesus Christ. And again, meditate upon this wonderful truth for a moment. We have come to know him, and by his wonderful grace, we have been united to him. The glorious, awesome, blessed, splendid, exalted, excellent Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God and the perfect man, the head of the creation of God. And my friends, because we are his, we share in his wonderful blessedness that he wants to share with us. Jesus Christ is gloriously happy in himself. He is the eternal God, always blessed, always satisfied, always complete. He never changes. And we have come to know him and share in his blessedness. And so it is that we are complete in Christ Jesus. Be encouraged. I know that you struggle in many ways in life, but be encouraged this morning. You are complete in Jesus Christ. And our light afflictions are working together for us a far and exceeding weight of glory, the Bible tells us. In other words, God has saved us, brought us into union with the blessed Christ, and now we continue in this world in the face of troubles, afflictions, and temptations. We experience discomforts, distresses, and pain, all in the plan of our great head, the Lord Jesus Christ, and perfectly in his timetable. And we are in part suffering these things now so that we are seen to be truly his, and we believe and endure through these distresses and difficulties so that when we come to the great God, the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall share with him an exceedingly great glory, my friends. The principle there really seems to be that because we are his and we suffer now, we shall enjoy greater glory and pleasure then. Praise God. And so we can endure these troubles, my friends, by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says that his many extremely difficult afflictions were a light affliction. And if Paul can say his great sufferings were a light affliction, surely you and I can say that too. We are distressed but not crushed, and we exist for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is in control of all things, my friends, and he has gathered us to God. We are, in this sense, now with God, and we shall forever be with God. Amen. Well, my friends, these verses are just so packed with wonderful truth. We want to continue in these very same verses as God wills next Lord's Day. But for now, let us close with this prayer, and let us remember the glory and the power and the kingdom of our great God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and of his Father. O God, our Father, it is through Jesus, your magnificent Son, that we give you praise, and we thank you that you have redeemed us from our sins, that Jesus came in your love and bled and died for us, and in so doing, he has purchased us for you, God. And we are your children now, Lord, and we rejoice in the wonderful work of Christ. We declare he is the head of the creation, and we are his children. We are his body. We are joined to him by faith. And Lord, we declare too that your grace is sufficient for us, the children of God, that we can endure these afflictions which our head, the Lord Jesus Christ, controls because we are yours. And so we receive your love and your grace, your mercy, your kindness. We receive power, and we return to you thanksgiving, glory, and blessing because you are our God. We worship you, Father, through your exalted Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that the kingdom of Christ will come. Lord, we pray that sinners will be saved and brought into submission to his glorious reign of mercy and grace and life. And we pray too that he will come again and reign over this world in the fullness of his glory. Father, you have promised the nations to your Son, and we pray that at the right time Jesus will come and save the world and renew it and regenerate the creation and present us to you, your glorified children. Father, we thank you that Jesus has overcome evil, death, misery, and hell, the evil one, and that we are secure and safe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that your mercy surrounds us, that your power is in us as we turn from sin and we bow in submission and love to his great name, the name above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen and amen. And so, my friends, until next Lord's Day morning, may the Lord of glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of the universe, bless you.